All right, coming up top of the hour, Nick Lalota. Also next hour, we'll talk with Asa Romorowski on the college campus stuff. All that coming into play. First, though, the former president on trial. What seems like day 90. It's only been about a week and change. But certainly Nicole Bernanke is keeping an eye on things as she has extensive experience of both plaintiffs and defendants, specializes personal injury, employment, wage, civil law issues. And Ms. Bernanke admitted to practice law in the state of New York before the U.S. District Courts for the Eastern and Southern Districts, and for the first time in the program, nice enough to give us a couple of minutes. Nicole, welcome to the morning show here on Long Island. We got so much going on. And sometimes, you know, we forget that Donald Trump right now is on trial, but some news yesterday regarding the judge in the case, Juan Merchan, who's presiding over this hush money case and holding Trump in criminal contempt over a series of posts. Give me a sense of what happened there. Go ahead and welcome aboard.
Hi, good morning. So yesterday, the judge issued a ruling on the prosecution's request to hold them in contempt over violating the gag order. So he posted a total of 9 posts that pertain to the witnesses in the trial and other issues regarding the trial, and he was specifically prohibited from doing that. And he did it anyway, and his attorneys were trying to make a very creative argument that he was just paraphrasing content that was posted or aired by other media, other individuals, but that argument was rejected. And we were waiting for a few days for that ruling. It came down yesterday, and he was not imprisoned, obviously. He was just warned that if he continues to do that, he may be imprisoned, which we all know it would be practically very difficult to do due to the Secret Service element that would have to be instituted for that. However, the judge just gave him the penalty of $1,000 per post, which is a total of $9,000, and it seems like insignificant, which leads me to believe that, you know, that the actual punishment was not the issue here. The judge just wanted to make sure that it is seen that his rules are being enforced and not violated by the president, by the former president.
Yeah. I mean, if you're advising him, okay, if you're an attorney advising the former president right now, I mean, he keeps stating things as he gets out of this courtroom. You know, I'm on trial with a totally rigged and conflicted judge, submitted by a DA who is corrupt, incompetent, allowing violent crime all over the city. I mean, isn't it best for Trump to kind of button up a little bit, just get through this, move on? I mean, all of these disruptions of some sort here are only adding to the circus that is already present. I mean, is it something that you would do with a private conversation, or is it just impossible to kind of lure him in to, you know, to just kind of shutting up a little here?
Well, we all know how he likes to behave and how he likes to express himself. And I think, you know, we can have a debate as to whether he's doing the right thing, but this is just the way he expresses himself. And I didn't expect that he would suddenly change just because there's a legal proceeding. I think that he behaves this way also because his base reacts to that and appreciates that. So we have to remember that he's right now also actively campaigning. So probably in his mind, it's all a part of the campaign more as the actual legal proceedings that are going against him. I'm not sure he's treating that seriously enough. If I was his attorney, obviously I would tell him that he has to follow these orders and he has to, he shouldn't be violating them. She should tone it down. But, and I'm sure that his attorneys are telling him that because that's the plain meaning of the law. If you get a certain order, you have to follow it. Otherwise, you can be held in contempt. And first you start with financial penalties and then the penalties could get worse. So I would explain all of that to him. But if it stays in his mind, if he is actually going to follow that as a separate story, given his current campaign, he wants it to be in a certain tone like he did before, and he's continuing the same rhetoric.
Yep. Nicole Bernanke with us on the ongoing Trump trial. Prosecutors have said that his former personal attorney, the fixer, Michael Cohen, paid off Stormy Daniels, who Trump allegedly had an affair with, to protect Donald Trump's 2016 Nicole presidential election chances. Now, you had a lawyer yesterday take the stand, Keith Davidson, who testified about a series of text message exchanges between himself and then National Enquirer editor-in-chief Dylan Howard there. And Davidson texted Howard back in 2016 that he had some sort of a, as he put it, some sort of a, what was the word, blockbuster Trump story there. So the declaration, you know, had Howard's news, you know, kind of activated in a very big way, rattling off, you know, a series of questions and everything else. And, of course, all the questions coming into play with Trump and Melania and everything else. You know, that was a tough one there. Give me a sense of how to kind of counteract that whole situation.
Well, he can still be cross-examined on everything and on the context, you know, of these text messages. But I think that you know, we all know that these payments happened and that he did it. There's just a matter of whether it constitutes a criminal act. So, you know, this is a bombshell. But this isn't the only person testifying, and I think every consecutive person's testimony is equally damning. But we just need to see how, in the end, if the jury will decide that this really rises to a criminal act and that we should blow it up to that extent, or if it's just what a lot of people believe are just bogus accusations against him just to hinder his campaign.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Davidson actually shopped the story to other outlets, ABC News, one of them, which was interested. And everything else. But, you know, as this kind of goes on here, you know, to me, the center of it is Michael Cohen. When you think about it, Michael Cohen is certainly a centerpiece here as far as all that is surrounding him. What do you expect from Cohen as we get on with this thing?
He first of all applauded the Josh Mershon orders. I think it's clear that he's not going to be friendly towards Trump in any way, and definitely his testimony is definitely going to be pivotal for this because of the relationship that broke down between them. And you know, obviously this itself could be attacked by the other side, but I'm not sure if it's going to be enough to completely discredit that.
Interesting there, no question. But there is certainly a lot in play. You had a couple of different people also being accompanied by a lot of his family members. Eric Trump, I believe, was there yesterday. Okay. Nicole, right? Eric Trump was there.
Yes.
So he's getting a lot of support, Trump is, from not only his family members, but other individuals as well, correct?
Yes, he is getting a lot of support. There's people outside supporting him. Then he, you know, he's known to go around after the trial is over to go to bodegas, construction sites, and he's definitely trying to tie everything into this campaign that he's currently running. But, you know, his family, I think they've always been on his side, and they've always been appearing in media and voicing support. And right now, they actually, I think that to a great extent, this all these cases that were just brought against him and are currently in the media, they're definitely utilizing that to show that he's a scapegoat of the, you know, Democratic establishment and all that rhetoric he's able to perpetuate using these trials precisely that. So he's using it for his political gains. His family is echoing that in the media. Eric Trump, you know, he goes on Hannity and other things and talks about it. So no. I think they're definitely using that to their advantage as well in this campaign. We just have to see if these trials end before the campaign and what effect they have on him actually being able to be reelected. So
right.
a state crime, he could technically be punished. But for example, the other ones, if they end after he becomes president, he could pardon himself. So there's so many things that could happen. It's an incredibly interesting scenarios to watch.
Exactly. He can actually pardon himself, folks. No question here. talking with Nicole Bernanke on the Trump trial. And prosecutors, you know, basically have said he formed the conspiracy, not only with Cohen. Remember David Peck, he was the first guy to testify, the former National Enquirer publisher, during a meeting. That was in April in 2015, the Trump Tower, to conceal the information about him before becoming public. And prosecutors, obviously, Nicole, are going on the premise of a violation here, you know, this scheme, this whole scheme of violation of election law. So I'm going to ask you to kind of put on your Kreskin thinking app here, fast forward over the next 5-6 weeks or so as we get into closing arguments. I mean, how accentuated will this be for the jury to get into deliberations regarding this scheme? Is that going to be kind of the final straw here as far as deciding innocence or guilt?
This is a very, very interesting question because from my experience and my general knowledge, I think that the theories regarding conspiracies and, you know, cover-ups and things like that are generally very difficult to sell to juries. These are very creative concepts that, you know, lawyers and the legal environment came up with. Not necessarily a concept that's understandable to a jury member, that it is a crime. People focus on acts and not on these mental concepts more. So that is just that is one general rule that I was thinking, that they're really pushing a lot of conspiracy things and a lot of cover-up theories. That might be difficult. But that, in the context of election law, you know, maybe some of the jurors think like elections shouldn't be influenced or tampered with in any way because it's a beacon of democracy. So if you get a person thinking along those lines, they're definitely going to consider that more seriously. But there may be jury members that will think that this is all bogus and this is just a concept that is not really an act that should be punished. So it really comes down to who is on that jury. And we were all following jury selection process in this case. It wasn't easy. I talked about that before as well. It wasn't easy because everyone knows the defendant. Everyone is, in a way, biased. So we don't really know how well these people were questioned and vetted before they sat on that jury. And we're about to find out once they start deliberating and render a verdict.
Yeah. Nicole Bernanke with us. The only thing, you know, to surmise at all this, Nicole, is I go back to the days of Bill Clinton. You know, and you know, it's about judging elections, you know, and certainly we can make conclusions regarding Clinton back in the day. I mean, pretty much Clinton and Trump have the same underlying problem here, women with embarrassing stories to tell. But,
yes.
You know, it's interesting where the tabloids were actually trying to get him, Clinton, right? Whereas you have the National Enquirer and David Pecker here trying to protect him. Isn't that an interesting caveat to all this, if one thinks back, huh?
I think it really hinges on the type of persona they created regarding themselves, because I think Clinton was always trying to be this perfect family man. You know, I mean, obviously he did things that he did, but he was not as adventurous in his presentation of himself to the general public. And I think that in Trump's case, you know, whatever he was doing is not what Trump does is not viewed the same way as other politicians, I think, because of the image that he created. I think that's a general statement that would, I think, in a way explains the difference in treatment that they're getting regarding those acts with women. But at the end of the day, we all know that, you know, that situation with Monica Lewinsky that stuck with Clinton for years, but it didn't really influence anything for him in the long run. So and here we'll see what happens with Trump, but I think that his base is just riled up right now by all these allegations, and I think it may help him in this election as opposed to hinder it, especially with the opponent that he's having and the trouble that he's currently facing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Back in the Clinton day, and of course we all remember the Jennifer Flowers deal. Very prominent, yeah. Folks, very prominent. Back in the 90s, without question there. Nicole Bernanke, well done there. I look forward to your next appearance with us. Great insight. Nicole Bernecki, as far as leading attorney, both sides of the aisle there, and giving her perspective on the former president standing trial as we speak. Great having you, and we look forward to the next time.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.